thing.
There you
Later.
Go.
Okay. It's just now 6 o'clock. Jay, do we have a quorum?
Yes.
And is there anyone who has not checked in? Who's here? Should I do a roll call now?
Yeah, there's four of you, unless you'd like to give it a few minutes, but you do have a quorum.
Okay, I'll wait a couple minutes. Who is not checked in besides Chris?
Rain.
Okay. I'll give her a couple minutes. She's going to be valuable in this meeting.
Jay, in the event that we didn't have a quorum, is there a prescribed amount of time that we are supposed to wait or can wait?
No.
I think it's the discretion of the chair, because if we know in advance that, for instance, if enough people have actually phoned in and said, I will not be at the meeting, then we know in advance we can't have the meeting. But if we really were depending upon Lorraine to make quorum, I would wait probably till 5 past. But I think it's not specified to my knowledge, which means it would be at the discretion of the chair. So that's my understanding.
Yeah, just curious.
Oh yeah, good question.
I feel like when I can think back in like high school or middle school, you know, if the teacher didn't show up, I don't know what the actual rule was, but I think everyone had an idea of it. And it was like, it's 12 past, you know, once it gets to 15, pass, we can all leave. Or
can we leave? Yeah,
right. Yeah.
It's 10 minutes at URI, actually.
Oh yeah, 10. Yeah, so it's like, you know, and then they walk in at 5:09 and everyone's like, ah.
Yeah. Or it's a substitute. Hey.
Yeah.
All right, one more minute, and then we'll begin.
So Lorraine is visible to me.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm here. Present.
See, they didn't say anything bad about you in that.
I know. They were waiting till 10 minutes, and then they were going to start talking about me.
URI rule. Okay. I have it being 6:03. I'm going to call to order the March 1st meeting of the South Kings 2022 meeting of the South Kingstown Conservation Commission. We'll have roll call. Mary Talbot Rodbiano. Mary?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Thank you. Great. Matt Brady Wood.
Here.
Lorraine Joubert.
Here.
Vern Wyman.
Here.
Chris O'Connor will not be with us this meeting due to a work commitment. I am David Flanders, and we are also joined by Principal Planner Jay Parker. I'll presume that we have all taken a look at the meeting, the minutes of the February 1st meeting. Does anyone have any notes, corrections, or anything else? If not, I will entertain a motion to accept the meetings minutes from the February 1st meeting.
I will put forth a motion to accept the minutes from the February 4th meeting or February 1st meeting as noted on the agenda.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Who seconded? Oh, Vern. Motion was moved by Matt Bradywood, seconded by Vern Wyman. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Very good. Thanks, guys. Okay. Second order of business is old business. Discussion of the aquifer and water quality protection, particularly relating to the GPOD. This was something that I had been ignorant of and requested more information on a couple of meetings ago. And at the last meeting, where we were provided with maps and you know, further discussion of the various areas, I felt satisfied that we knew what was what. We left it that when there's further information, either from South Kingstown or neighboring towns, that Lorraine would keep us posted on that. And rather than, my thought now is that rather than continue it as a regular meeting agenda item, that Lorraine would say, well, there's some new information we should, you know, be aware of, should talk about, or at least bring up, and then make it an agenda item. So how does everybody else feel about that way to move forward?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, so all right. So we'll leave it loose like that, that when something does come up, pretending, because I know, Lorraine, you did mention that it has been, what, 10 years since it was updated last?
Right. And I discussed that we were waiting for North Kingstown, and they had a public hearing last night, and they do have some interesting changes and streamlined elements of the ordinance. And so the council heard that presentation from the planning board and planning staff last night and took comments from the public. And they're going to make a decision on March 14th, but I still think it would need to go through additional revisions even after that, because they were looking at a document that still had a lot of redlining and it wasn't really final. But other towns are also looking at their groundwater ordinances. And so I think when North Kingstown finishes theirs, even if it's in several months, I think it's in plenty of time.
I think at that time, it would be, opportune for us to maybe through a letter to the planning board to suggest specific revisions we make based on this precedent. Sure. You know, I like the idea of precedent. And okay, well, let's keep us posted on it.
I will.
We'll have a short report. It will be an agenda item. You let us know. You let us know when
exactly
that's happened after March, whatever. Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yep. Good.
Is that a directive for me to take it off the agenda for next month? A lot of times I will leave stuff on the agenda and wait until you tell me that you want it taken off. But would you like it taken off as of for the April meeting?
Yeah, for now, let's do that, and let's wait till we hear from Lorraine about any advancement on the subject from other towns, and then we'll put it back on the agenda. So yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The other item on old business is discussion of the town letter to the town council regarding the 50 milliliter alcohol bottles known as NIPS as an amendment to the South Kingstown Plastic Reduction Ordinance. We did get the hard copy, or rather the electronic copy of the letter from Jay yesterday. And this would be what we would be sending to the town council. So does anyone have any further points, changes that you want to make to this letter, or do we want to send it as presented to the town council?
Well, David, I think the letter looks good. I'm comfortable sending it to the town council as it is. But you had mentioned to me maybe trying to tie in the sustainability committee, and their chair has recently stepped down, but their contact person with the town is the facilities superintendent, Mark Russo. We could reach out to him. And also the chair on her way out mentioned to me that Jim Norman might be, who's a member of the sustainability committee, might be interested in this topic, or just might be a voice on their committee who would chime in with what we're sending to the town council. So I'm not sure if you want to wait to proceed until we send them a copy of the letter and hear back, or just go ahead and say, hey, we're going over there if you guys want to come with us, or not sure what
my thoughts are. That once we If we do accept the letter as written and do move to send it to the town council, that then I would like to make public the fact that, I mean, you know, to other conservation commissions, that we have sent this letter as an attachment to our town council. Here's where our conservation commission is headed, just sort of as a reach out to certainly the sustainability committee. But I even had a discussion with the chair of the North Kingstown Conservation Commission, who was a former client of mine. And I just wanted to touch base with him, let him know. And once, if we do accept this as written, I would like to send it, you know, to him. I would also like to send it to Narragansett and Charlestown, our neighboring towns, just, you know, to let them know. And because my personal feeling is that as a state bill, which has a lot of local support here, it's a strong state liquor lobby. And these kind, we don't even bottle bill yet. I mean, that has been successfully derailed. So I would like to continue. And in Massachusetts, it's only been community by community. And I think there are 11. But I would like to move forward with this, but let our neighboring communities know what we're doing, just to give them some encouragement to get done in their communities as well. So that's my basic thinking on it. Jay, would you have contact information for Narragansett Conservation Commission and Charlestown Conservation Commission? Jay?
No, I'm here. I lost my Zoom application for some reason. Let me stop this. There we go.
Would you have contact information?
I can easily get in touch with Narragansett. Brian Wagner from my office is actually on the Conservation Commission in Narragansett. So I can go next door to my office and talk to him.
Yep.
And
Jay, was he who was on the at the December TRC meeting?
Probably.
Okay. I think that might have been the fellow that I spoke with at the TRC meeting who expressed interest in collaborating with the SK Conservation Commission. So
all right, yeah, I can easily talk to him about that. I'll do that tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And Charlestown, I don't have a contact, but I can reach out to my constituent in the planning department over there and see if she can point me in the right direction.
And what do you think about, Jay, what do you think about including Westerly? Because that's where you live. Is that a viable idea?
Yeah, it can't hurt. Okay. I'm trying to remember if I know who's still on the commission. I'll find out. I'll do some research and find out.
And Bill McCusker, who's appeared before us, knows a contact on the Richmond, which is also a neighboring town, Richmond Conservation Commission. And unless anybody has any objections for a non-South Kingstown CONCOM member to reach out, I would like to send Bill a copy of the letter if we approve it and have him reach out as just a person-to-person kind of thing. Would that be amenable, Jay? Is there any problem with that legally?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, it's just sort of citizens spreading the word is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any other suggestions about amendments to the letter? Or is it ready to be brought up as a motion to pass to send to the town council? Well, then I will entertain a motion to accept the letter as presented and have it be sent to the town council. Motion?
So moved.
Moved by Lorraine. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Mary? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Great. Thank you. Terrific. New business, item one, advisory opinion to the Zoning Board, Habit for Humanity application special use permit locating an OWTS within 150 feet of wetland, Mooresfield Road, Assessor's Plat 24, Lot 6. Is there somebody here representing the applicant?
I'm bringing them in right now, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks.
Good evening. Coming through okay?
Yeah, gotcha.
Perfect.
Good evening, Colin. Colin, is Elizabeth Hoy part of your team?
Nope, it should just be myself and Patrick.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so my name is Colin Penny. I'm the Executive Director for Habitat for Humanity for Rhode Island South County. So we're, as many of you know, a nonprofit that develops and sells affordable homeownership units throughout Washington County. So our next proposed project is on Mooresfield Road, Plot 24, Lot 6, as stated before. So we're coming to you as part of the special use permitting process due to the proximity to wetlands. So this house that's being pulled up now is a proposed 3-bedroom, 1.5 bathroom unit. It'll be deed restricted for affordable housing. The other thing that's kind of unique to Habitat is we'll only be selling the improvement. So Habitat will maintain ownership of the land for the next 198 years. So we just lease the land to the homeowners. So if there ever were any future issues with changes in the wetland, maintenance of septic, rain gardens, those sort of things, Habitat would take an active role going forward should the homeowner not be able to take care of that on their own. So I'm going to hand it over to Patrick from American Engineering, and they put together this proposal as well as took care of the permitting through DEM.
Colin, before you hand it over, what happens to the ownership of the land after 198 years?
That's as long as we're legally allowed to lease it. So whoever currently occupies the house after 198 years, ownership of the land gets turned over to them. So yeah, we're really allowed to, I believe that's a federal regulation that only allows us to lease it that long.
Lucky for whoever's there in 200 years.
Yes, indeed. But that actually gets renewed with every transfer. So if they were to sell the house 25 years from now, that clock would start over. So it's only if it stays within the same family for that period of time.
Oh, wow. Gotcha.
So we briefly lost Patrick. He's just now logging back. Am I muted? No, I'm not.
No, you're good.
I can't see my Zoom screen here, but I think Patrick is with us. He's currently muted. He may be having technical issues.
I'll ask one more question of Colin in the meantime. Did this property used to, in the near past, belong to the town of South Kingstown?
It was purchased at tax sale at some point. So I believe it was a privately owned lot that was purchased at tax sale by a gentleman named Andy Kushner and Brian DeCruz, who many of you know from South Kingstown. They decided that due to some of the challenges of developing on this lot, any house larger than what we're proposing, they donated the lot to Habitat for Humanity to be developed for affordable housing.
I have a question too. Is that the footprint of the house, is that also the existing house? Is there an existing house?
Nope, there's no existing house currently on the lot.
Just land, okay.
Yep, just vacant land.
Okay, thanks.
All right, do we have Patrick back by any chance?
Until then, I have another question. If it was just land, the diagram we have refers to existing driveway, existing gravel driveway. To what would the driveway be going?
So it was being used, I think, largely by the neighbor for, there was an area kind of where the proposed rain garden, the septic in kind of the a third of the house has been mowed and I think largely used for storage. I think largely by the neighbor. The previous owner might've put the driveway in themselves, I'm not sure. But since it's been there since before we got it and since the gentleman who donated it to us. But you know, the only other thing that was on the property was the neighbor had placed a propane tank on the property. But before we even got out there, I think when he saw the transfer, he had that propane tank moved to the other side of the wall and placed on his property. So it also could have been put in to fill that tank when it was put on the property, but it has since been removed.
Ed, would you be the one we should ask or your next person here as to why you would change a gravel driveway to a paved driveway to be impervious?
Yes, so Patrick may be able to answer that better.
Okay.
You know,
can you all hear me?
Yes, hear you.
Yes, sorry, I had to call in on my phone. My webcam must have died. So my name is Patrick Freeman. In regards to the gravel driveway, the curb numbers are very similar. We had to propose a paved apron for the physical alteration permit. So it only left a small area of gravel remaining. So that was why we made that transition. It's 2% of the runoff. I'm sorry, of the rainfall that lands on, you know, is the difference between gravel and asphalt. That was our reasoning.
So I'm wondering for the paved driveway, is any of that going to the rain garden?
A portion of it is. There is a drainage divide. We captured as much of it as we could. A portion of the front does go on the northerly side of the proposed dwelling. But that would have happened either way. With
the runoff,
you know,
from the driveway goes north?
So I'm trying to, yeah, okay. So there's, as you can see, the 100 contour.
Patrick.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm going to try to, if you still have access via your computer, I'm going to give you remote control so you can highlight on the plan. Want to try it?
Oh, perfect. Yep. I believe I have it. So you can see here.
Yeah, you got it.
Contour. All right, portion of this site. So it's a depression here. So we, in order to get, sorry, I'm hearing myself twice because of it's coming through on the phone, but
I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, it's driving me nuts.
Yes.
So because of the existing grades on site, we had to pull this 100 contour here up to prevent water from stacking up against the house here. So some of this runoff will go this way. None of it goes onto Morrisfield Road. The remainder is routed around this way. So there's a high point roughly in this area that divides the flow. I'm hoping that answers your question.
So on the southern side of the driveway, does it go towards the rain garden?
So this portion here will flow in this direction towards the rain garden and will be captured by it, yes.
But it'll be designed to enter the rain garden?
Correct.
It currently doesn't seem to be, though.
There's a lot of lines in here, which makes it fairly difficult to see, but this swale created by the 100 contour directs water from this area,
okay,
including a portion of the paved driveway towards the rain garden there.
Okay. Is the flow then on the northern side towards the wetland, is that going to be sheet flow or is it going to be channelized in any way?
The intent is to should flow as much as possible. We did have to pull this contour in, so the only flow that may get concentrated will be in this valley, the swale north of the proposed dwelling. But for the most part, it's fairly shallow. This is, I want to say, around 2%. It shouldn't erode or be at a high velocity.
Maybe it's possible to put in like a kind of a check dam or a level spreader so that it'd be more evenly spread out through the wetland buffer.
It's possible. We haven't explored it. I didn't want to pond in front of the house. This rain garden has been designed to capture the 25-year storm, so it is slightly oversized. As far as what runoff will be entering the wetlands, relatively speaking, it's a small portion of woods here.
Yeah.
Next to no increase from the proposed pavement to the proposed from the existing gravel. It's going to be relatively minimal.
Okay. Maybe then the buffer looks like it's strictly the line of white pines, right? Or white spruce?
Correct.
Do you think it'd be possible to add an understory layer to help kind of break up that flow and absorb it also, and while also adding, you know, a thicker buffer with also some wildlife value with the understory shrubs that might have berries and things like that?
Sure. So I know this portion here, there's an existing lawn. So I didn't really get to do my description of the site plans because I was having technical difficulties. There's an existing lawn along this area.
Right.
This portion is already wooded. We would be minimizing any impact to
this area
as much as possible. So this is already has undergrowth. This area would be allowed, you know, along this strip would be allowed to vegetate with, you know, native plants.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I had another question. Oh, sorry, David.
No, I was just going to ask for more questions.
The erosion control plans always mention hay bales, which I think everyone realizes are not really used anymore. Are you really using hay bales, or are you using filter socks and silt fence?
Primarily silt fence. That's the detail on the plan. We give them the option to use hay bales. Nobody ever.
Hay bales are not used anymore for that. Hay bales are used strictly around sediment piles. I mean, sand, excess.
So we do have piles. A stockpile area,
right?
Here, so we leave the option, but I can specify that it be strictly either, silt fence or wattles.
Okay. I'm thinking especially about protection for the rain garden and the OWTS drain field, which must be protected from the start. So that needs to be established at the beginning before other site work begins.
Of course, I do believe it's specified in the notes that those areas be protected, but I can double check that.
Not sure both of them are, but good. Maybe a silt fence with wattle. Silt fence would be something, a visible barrier more than a wattle, but maybe both would be good. Or a regular filter sock.
Lorraine, what's the difference between a wattle and filter sock?
Well, the straw wattles are really the smallest and cheapest type and, you know, least effective. Some of the larger ones are more effective at controlling the sediment coming in, and then the silt fence or other type of barrier would actually like make contractors realize they shouldn't be knocking over that barrier.
Yep.
Patrick, I've got a question for you. This is the commission will recognize this as a question that comes up every time we look at these. The impervious lot coverage that you have listed is 3.8%. Is that percentage based on the total lot or on the buildable portion of the lot?
So that is the total lot. And I believe it's a building lot coverage.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit at the beginning of that.
I did say, so I was saying that it is, it's based on the entire lot area.
Yeah.
And it's based on the structural lot coverage, not the impervious lot coverage.
Doesn't DEM require excluding wetlands from the calculation of impervious cover?
I'm not sure. I don't believe so.
I think that's the appropriate way to do it, eliminating, excluding water and wetland from the impervious cover. But it looks like so you've got it anyway.
We very well may. I'm just the point. I believe it's a 15%, and I don't believe that's a DEM rule. I believe that's the town, and I believe it's based on the total lot size.
Right, but when you look at the calculation methods for impervious cover in the stormwater manual, it's based on the buildable land.
Yeah.
It doesn't include wetland or water.
So as far as DEM is concerned, they're not concerned necessarily with, and I may be wrong about total impervious lot coverage. I don't believe that they necessarily care what the impervious lot coverage is.
Right, because that's a town, like that's under the town purview for low impact development site design. DEM relies on the towns to do the site design and minimize runoff and impervious cover at the site design level. And then DEM looks at the actual engineering design at at a later phase.
Patrick, Flanders here, just as a heads up, I think the planning board is going to want to know that figure, that percentage of the actual buildable area and what is impervious.
Yeah, you may have that number ready for that. Yeah.
I think you want.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarification, that would be the zoning board, not the planning board.
Sorry, thank you.
Right. I also don't think that number includes all of the driveway, but from what I could estimate, it still seems to be well under or about 4%, even with the extra driveway area.
I do believe you're correct. I believe we're fine as far as that number goes. I just have to double check it.
Okay. One other question about the rain garden design. I note that the plan notes specify use of compost in the fill in the organic material in the rain garden. But that's an older specification. It's my understanding that UNH, University of New Hampshire Stormwater Center, specifically recommends not adding compost to rain garden substrate because it increases nutrient loading to groundwater. And I believe DEM accepts the UNH standards. Are you familiar with that?
That's the first I've heard of that. I don't believe they've updated their regulations to match that. I can definitely look into that.
I strongly recommend using the UNH standards that specify no compost and then requesting approval from DEM to use it. I would be surprised if they reject it. And I also think the new DOT linear manual excludes compost based on the UNH standard. It would be nice if DEM could kind of clarify that.
I will look into that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, one other question. Is the DEM wetland edge verified by DEM, or is the wetland edge verified by DEM?
It, not specifically verified. We did get it delineated by NRS, and DEM did inspect the site as part of the preliminary determination.
That's too bad. It's really preferable to get a verification. Was that a cost-saving factor?
No, it typically we don't. It's not usually required for a project of this scale. If DEM wants it verified, they'll ask us to verify it. It's very specific to the Conservation Commission, this ordinance, that it be, verified. Typically, DEM will let us know if they disagree with it. Scott's at NRS. Very reputable with regards to his delineations, but.
Lorraine, anything else?
I'm all set. Anyone else?
Are there currently, regardless of who put them in, NRS or DEM, are there any markers or stakes along that wetland edge right now?
As of the last time we were on site, they were there. The blue wetland flags would have been on site. Mm-hmm. Part of the wetlands approval, we actually go out and we would stake the corners of the buildings, the limit of disturbance, the location of the rain garden, and we do verify that those wetland flags are out there. Occasionally in the winter, the deer like to eat them. So I can't say for sure that they're still there, but...
And you're going to replace those flags or those stakes with permanent markers?
Not typically, not the wetland flags. The tree line should suffice once it's installed to protect that buffer.
Right.
I would agree.
Actually, signage along that buffer would be useful too to indicate that it's a protected wetland.
That's
typically what we require. And I think there's some standard signage that DEM uses for that.
We have done that in the past.
Okay.
Looking at our proposed draft motion, under number two, the applicant has also taken measures to minimize impact, such as, and what I've noted, addition of the rain garden, the white spruce buffer, and the delineation of the wetlands buffer with occasional signage. Does any, in our discussion, did anything else come up as, other measures to minimize impact?
I think also the house footprint is reasonable. You know, it's a reasonable size house footprint.
I agree.
The septic system has been located as far away as possible from the wetland. The rain garden appears to accept all the drainage from the house. And the driveway runoff will be directed partly towards the rain garden and partly towards the wetland to the north and distributed through the wooded area of the wetland buffer to minimize impacts to the wetland. And also the adequate erosion controls to prevent disturbance and compaction of the OWTS drain field and rain garden will be installed and maintained so that those areas remain undisturbed during construction.
Jay, have you noted all those things that we were just talking about now, applicant measures to minimize impacts, or should I reach back to you?
No, Mr. Chairman, I have not. As the board is aware, I've customized, well, this was a few years ago, we customized the application to the CONCOM on these applications so that it was rather straightforward.
Yep.
As to what the application, how the application presents. Mm-hmm. Along with that, I also provide you with the draft motion for you to craft your decision. And I would encourage the commission member, the board member making the motion to include whatever conditions that they would like in that motion itself.
Right. Well, I could go ahead and make the motion, or Lorraine, would you like to make the motion, or Matt, would you like to make the motion?
I can go ahead and do it.
Okay.
The South Kingstown Conservation Commission has reviewed the special use permit application for the applicant Habitat for Humanity for Rhode Island and the proposed dwelling serviced by a 3-bedroom OWTS located within 150 feet of the wetland located at Assessor's Plat 24, Lot 6 on Morrisfield Road. Based on this review, the Conservation Commission makes the following findings. The project appears to meet all standards listed in Section 504 of the Zoning Ordinance. The applicant has also taken measures to minimizing impacts, such as maintaining or designing the house to have a relatively small footprint. The OWTS is located as far as way away as possible from the wetland and utilizes advanced treatment system. Rain garden will be installed to handle runoff from the rooftop and a portion of the driveway, which will be paved. And the remainder of the runoff from the driveway will be directed northward as it would naturally flow and distributed through the wetland buffer before reaching the actual wetland, which will minimize impact. The vegetated buffer to the wetland will be marked. The outer edge near the house will be marked by a line of white spruce trees, and an understory of trees is not necessary because the remainder of the buffer is fully vegetated. In addition, I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but the rain garden and OWTS will be protected from construction, and other erosion controls will be installed as shown on the plan. We hereby find that the proposed location of the dwelling, siting of the OWTS, and the extent of limits of disturbance for this project appear to sufficiently minimize impacts of this development on the adjacent wetland. And as designed, and the project appears to comply with Article 5, Section 504 of the Zoning Ordinance. As such, the Conservation Commission hereby renders a favorable advisory opinion for this application to the Zoning Board of Review.
That is the motion made by Lorraine. Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Any further discussion, additions, corrections, anything else? Hearing none, that is the motion.
Oh, I do have one more, sorry. I forgot to mention the need to eliminate compost from the material in the rain garden and to check with UNH, University of New Hampshire stormwater specifications, which are online, and use their standards and obtain DEM approval to use the standard without compost.
Very good.
Were those conditions suggested?
I believe the applicant agreed to minimize those, to accept that, but otherwise that would be a condition.
Right, so
approval.
Right. So in the case where an applicant offers to do something, or the commission recognizes something that the commission would like to see done, that despite the agreement with the applicant, you should, if the board feels strongly enough, it should become a condition or a recommended condition for the zoning board to consider.
In that case, I would like to propose that the elimination of compost from the rain garden design be a condition of approval to be enforced by the zoning board.
And it was a suggestion on the UNH?
No, it should be using the UNH specification and if necessary, they need to obtain approval from DEM to do that.
Okay, so that's not a that is not a condition then. I'm just trying to make sure I understand it when I go to write the motion later.
Well, it is a condition of our approval that they use the UNH standard for no compost.
Okay.
And correct. We don't see any. I would not think that there would be resistance from DEM.
Understood.
Any further discussion on the motion? Actually, we heard a second on the motion. I don't recall. Was that from you, Matt?
Yep, I seconded it.
Okay.
I'll revise my second to include the additions that Lorraine put on.
Correct. Good. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Very good. The motion passes. Thank you.
I would also like to say, separate from the motion, that I totally support the idea of a Habitat for Humanity house, and I think it's a great thing that is being done for the community.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience with my technical difficulties tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We all own computers and can certainly understand, so thank you.
It's not the first time.
No.
I imagine.
I missed an entire meeting one time because I was in between computers, so, you know. Okay, let's see. Discussion of the Wild and Scenic Community Grants. Lorraine, you mentioned that to me in a memo that we were essentially being included in the correspondence as a courtesy just to keep us in the loop, because it wasn't really expected that the Conservation Commission would come up with proposals for grants. Is that your understanding? Have I translated that correctly?
I don't know if that's the case. I would think it'd be perfectly logical for the Conservation Commission to propose something. But when I looked into this, it looks like it's only about $4,000, if I recall correctly.
And what are the time frame deadlines?
You know, when I saw it was only 4,000, I didn't look any further.
Yeah, I understand. Okay.
I figured just the application process itself might cost $4,000.
Anybody else have any comment on this before we move on to the next item? Okay.
Well, I'm wondering if Jay has any thoughts on this and whether it's been discussed beyond the CONCOM.
Not to my knowledge. I was just bringing up that flyer that was sent out. And
Dear River Stewards?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought the River Stewards might be interested for monitoring or something like that, or whatever, you know, trash removal.
A lot of this is done by volunteers as well. I mean, it's particularly when you talk about trash removal and such. So it's, I don't have any ideas for, you know, grant proposals myself.
But the watershed watch monitoring costs money. It could, 4,000 would actually cover quite a bit of monitoring.
Yep, that is true.
And I would think that would be up to the those directly involved with monitoring to apply.
I agree.
Yeah, at that level, that's probably the best use of the monies.
Right.
In that when you look at, that's not by itself, it won't go very far, but that, and yet you're right in that case, you know, it's supporting an ongoing commitment anyway. So it's helpful.
Well, I did put out notice to the Friends of the Saugatucket about the availability of the grant. So I haven't heard back and don't know if they're going to proceed with that or not. But you're right. That is the most direct, logical place for the money to go. I agree. Speaking of that, this is going to dovetail right into item three in new business. And that's talking about our Conservation Commission budget available for this year. And if I'm, Jay, you can correct me on this. I believe the fiscal year ends June 30th. So any ideas that we would want to propose should probably be solidified by the May meeting. Is that about right?
The encumbrance that you may entertain, the money that you may entertain spending needs to be encumbered by early June to be safe.
Okay.
So I would say if you made a decision in May to do something, that hopefully you can be invoiced by second week in June.
Okay.
First week in June, ideally.
And the amount we have is $650. The reason we had more last year was because, and I remember Jamie Rabbit telling us last fiscal year that if we did not spend all of the money, it could be carried forward to the next fiscal year, which I had never heard of because I thought it was the old bureaucratic use it or lose it. But he said, no, that's not the case with this. So anyway, we did use all our funding and we have $650, which we need to talk about or just be thinking about that, you know, and bring it up again, have it be an agenda item next month as well as, you know, ideas that we may have for how to spend this. I would like to also bring up that this is the season when the town council is forming the budget for next year. And I would like to address the town council for an increase in our 650. And I would like to start with a request for $1,000 and list the ways that we've been spending our money, which have, you know, benefited the town directly. And I would make it at least that high because they can always say, well, maybe not 1,000, maybe 900 or something, which would still be an increase for what we have been spending. So I did want to get some feedback on, you know, our requesting an increase in our budget.
Sure. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That question.
We very easily spent the $935 last year. I mean, that went really quickly for a very good cause. So, you know, I could start with a draft of a letter that Jay could finish up, you know, for form and you know, just as a letter to the town council. I did read that, or did hear back from, it was from the computer, I don't know who sent it, regarding a letter to the town council, because I had sent them an email regarding a separate issue, and they said, well, that all correspondence had to be received by the Wednesday prior to a regular meeting. So, we could aim for, you know, going through a draft like we did for the NIPS ordinance and so hopefully get something that we could vote on for next month's meeting. And then it would go out, you know, hopefully prior, you know, end of business the following Wednesday. So does anybody have any thoughts on an amount that we would want to request? I mean, we can request anything. They'll pare it down to whatever they feel they can do. But I would like to, in that letter, articulate how we have spent our monies in the past, including the Save the Bay program for fourth graders, tree plantings that we've done and where they've been, and certainly water quality monitoring along the Saugatucket tributaries. Any thoughts on that? I mean, I can certainly send out, as we did for the NIPS letter, a draft based on talking points that, you know, we generate here tonight, and just see how everybody feels about it.
First of all, was it last year that they cut the budget?
Well, last year it actually increased because it had been 600 and something, and there we didn't spend it all, so it got carried over to be 935. But I don't recall the sequence as to when it did pare it down.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it was 2019 that the budget was adjusted from 850 to 650.
Okay, 2018, you said?
Yeah, I believe so. And just a word of precaution, I don't, I lost my screen again. There you go. Wow, anyway, can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we can see you as well.
Yep. I can't see anything at the moment. Last year and the year prior, your budget was upwards of 900 and change, I believe.
35, I think.
Yeah, and that was a result of some type of carryover that happened, I want to say 2019. I am not aware of situations where unused fund balances carry over. So I would go into each fiscal year with the understanding that it's spend it or lose it. And I wouldn't count on it being carried over to next fiscal year.
Okay.
I don't know how the carryover came about, but I am not aware that that is a general practice in this municipality or other municipalities.
Okay. That had been my understanding until I heard differently from Jamie. So, yeah. So is the commission, do we have a consensus? I don't think we need a motion, but do we have a consensus on trying to get our budget, just to petition the town council for an increase in our budget?
850? To 850?
I'm still going to say 1,000.
1,000?
Yeah, we can use it. I'm saying ask for more than you expect. If you ask for 850 and they pare it down to 750, you've only gained $100.
Yeah, and 1,000 is nothing compared to the entire budget.
Yeah.
But David, they're going to listen to this meeting. They're going to know that you're not willing to stick with your $1,000 gun.
They're really going to review all the meeting notes, right?
I'm sure they read
all right there. He's willing to take 750.
He is not. He is not. Okay.
Yeah, let's ask for 1,000.
Yeah, and I'll start getting something around, and you know, we'll just play around with it. It'd just be a friendly discussion between members. Okay. All right. We'll leave that and go to correspondence and public commentary. Jay, anything on your end?
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. And no public raising hands?
There is one member of the public, Elizabeth Boy, in the audience, but I do not see her hand raised.
Okay. And going on, update from staff on planning department activities. Jay, I'll ask if you have anything on that regard or.
Nothing new to report that it's associated with the Conservation Commission at this time.
I did hear through the grapevine that the town council may have selected a new town manager. Do you know anything about that?
As far as I'm aware of the decision, we're not privy to any of that information. So I don't have any idea.
Okay. Next meeting date and agenda items. Next meeting date is April 5. And any agenda items, as usual, you know, feed to Jay or feed to me, or either way, and we'll just put it on the agenda. Report from the February Technical Review Committee from last month.
Yeah, that's one I covered. So once again, the preliminary plan for the Matunic Beach Road condominiums was dominated that agenda for that meeting. There has been a Goldberg Zoino was performed a you know, comparable analysis of the handling of stormwater and has provided information to the town, which in turn the planning director has submitted a letter to the developers to point out again various little inconsistencies that still exist in some of the documents. It also spoke to certain aspects of the that came from the Goldberg Zorno reports, clarification on the modeling that deals with the confirming that the surface water is not being, you know, exported at all across the lines of the property. The two significant things that are also going on with regation of that project is that there has been a recommended modification to the layout of the development, a little more of a consolidation of the developed condo units and a relocation of the entry road, which appears to have some advantages, particularly for line of sight. And it brings it very much to the lower southernmost corner of the property, and shifts some of the parking as well to the north side. So it that was discussed at the meeting. Was also discussed that it'll be very important, you know, that maintaining the handicapped access across that point was in part addressed, but also the management of the vegetation in that vicinity to ensure good line of sight was also discussed. When I reviewed the materials, I had not seen any of the discussions that were previously entertained, but where they were going to make the landscape plan a lot more natural looking, and instead of, you know, having things in a line, that it was going to be more of clustered. Or, you know, they've had a pretty good complement of plant materials, native plant materials and the like, in the mix, but they acknowledge that they haven't touched that yet, particularly with the changes in the configuration on the site that were discussed at that meeting. So right now they have, I mean, the, you know, obviously the Goldberg Zoner report is there, and the information assembled from John Schock's operation that they have in front of them to further scrutinize and finalize the material in that. So it continues progressively, but it's, you know, some of these developments appear to be one, a good corrective action that seems to be taking a while, but at the same time, improvements, I think, that make it, you know, a little more tenable in that very tight, narrow site that they've got there.
Jay, how does the timeline look for this project? Because I know that the clock starts ticking when they, you know, make their application. Are we getting near the end of that?
Oh, yes. But they, from what we understand, they are willing to acquiesce to an extension. Okay. They're working with the town to address some of the issues. And so I don't anticipate it being a problem, although it's hard for me to say at this time. Once they get before the planning board and the discussions progress through there, that'll determine their willingness to how long they will acquiesce to extensions.
Okay. So this will be continued at the next TRC?
No, it's not anticipated. It's anticipated to be wrapped up at the next TRC meeting, and a public hearing with the planning board is scheduled for Thursday, March 24th.
Which brings me to the next half of this is the designation of duty member for the March 9th TRC. It would be my turn to come up in rotation, but I'm very, I'm aware that there has been some people come down with COVID in the town clerk's office, in the town manager's office. And I'm just not, and this is going to be an in-person meeting at the town hall council chambers. I personally am not comfortable with doing that. So I'd like to bow out of my rotation at this time and ask if anybody else would want to come forward and attend the TRC on March 9th.
For a little perspective, right now, I believe there are only two items for discussion on that meeting. Wrapping up Matunic Beach condos and a new application by South County Post and Beam.
Okay. Does anybody want to attend that meeting? That doesn't sound like it's going to be terribly long, which is nice. Anybody want to volunteer to do that?
I'll do it.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. Great. Okay, Jay, Mary would get the packet.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
I agree, thank you. Before we adjourn, does anybody have any last minute comments to make, things to share, news, whatever? Okay, it is now 7:07 and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all, and thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, guys.
Good night.
You too. Thanks. Bye.